this year. You all pray for us. Heavenly God, we ask you this all through the holy name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Triune, from here on forever and ever. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us the offenses we have forgiven debtors. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, they are able to hear you. Only me and Robbie, who is assisting in Bible reading, our lines are only unmuted. Rest of them are on mute.
Good, good. Where are you, Robbie, from?
I'm from Houston.
Yeah.
From Houston?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for being there. You are the one to lead us, okay? So we are getting into 16th chapter of the Acts of the Holy Apostles. But before we go any further, I should have asked this question last week. Do you know the name of the book that we are learning? People say Acts of the Holy Apostles. However, in Greek and in Malayalam, what is actually this book called? What is the Malayalam word for this book? Pravrittigal. In Greek, this is called praxis. The word praxis is translated into English like practice. That is exactly what praxis is. So, these are the practices of the apostles. And that is something that we are going to very clearly see in the 16th chapter. So, without wasting any more time, Ravi, can you start with verses 1 to 2? Oh, by the way, please look at the map that I sent to you, okay? And listen to what Ravi is going to read. Please, go ahead, Ravi.
Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium.
Thank you. See, here in Derbe and Lystra, that is where they came. Can you see these two places in the map? You see Cyprus in the map, I hope. And right above Cyprus, where it is written Pamphylia, and Derbe is right there, and Lystra is next to Derbe, a little to the north and west. I hope you are seeing those two places. So that is where, these are very close cities, not that far from each other. So Paul came to Lystra and Derbe, and there was a disciple, his name was Timothy. And, Timothy, please pay attention to that name. Just a second. Timi, the word Timi in Greek means present. And Theos means God. Timotheos. That means the gift of God. That is what Timothy actually means. And there was a man called Timothy. Timothy is also an honor, that God is giving you the honor. So Timothy is also means honor, and honor is seen as a gift. Okay? So in that count, we have to understand this is was an honorable man. But he was honorable because his mother was very honorable. And his father was Greek, his mother was a very honorable Jewish woman, and her name was Eunice. Where do I get this name? Where do I get his mother's name? If we look into into the letter, the second letter of Paul to Timothy, he is giving the name of his mother as well as his grandmother. Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice, E-U-N-I-C-E, and his grandmother's name was Lois, L-O-I-S. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, that is where you see their names. So, when we make cross references, we see the names of these noble women. Now, his father was Greek, his mother was Jewish. Therefore, his heritage is deemed as Jewish because his mother has reared him Jewish. And that is the reason why Timothy was part of the Jewish community in Derbe and Lystra. And now, it is also said he was well spoken by the brethren. Look at the word brethren. In the last chapter 2, some men came from Jerusalem and talked to the brethren. In 15th chapter, beginning of the 15th chapter, we read that. Here again, the word brethren comes. They spoke about Timothy very highly. And now, let's go to the third verse.
Paul wanted to have him go on with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek.
Thank you. In the previous chapter, we read about the Council of Jerusalem, where it was decided and decreed, we learned the word decreed that nobody needs to be circumcised if they come from a Gentile background. Now here, Timothy is being circumcised. You understand the difference there. Why Paul has allowed Timothy to be circumcised? The answer is that Timothy's heritage was deemed as Jewish. So if you're a Jew and have not yet circumcised, you may be circumcised. Because in the Council of Jerusalem, it was said that the yoke that Peter's preaching, let's remember the speech of Peter, the yoke that we found difficult to bear, why would we put that upon a Gentile? Similarly, Timothy was deemed as a Jew and therefore he needs to be circumcised, Paul deemed. Therefore, many people might think, like, why is Paul changing his opinion? No, actually Paul is not changing his opinion. He is keeping the tradition and the word of the Jewish heritage that he has also been part of. Now, let's go to verse 4.
And as they went to the cities, they delivered to them the decree to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were sent.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily.
Thank you. Now, they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decree. What does it mean, decree here? I just mentioned that. The word decree here means the decision and the order of the Council of Jerusalem. That is what the decree is, which was sent to Antioch through Silas and Judas, Barsabbas. We read that in the last chapter. So that is the decree. And every church, every local church that was there, they got this decree. And thus, the people and the members of the church, the brethren, they were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Look at the word, increase in number daily. I will come back to the number in daily later. In case I forget, Rupa, please remind me, okay?
Okay, sir.
So, keep that in mind. And let's go to verse 6 through 6 through 10, please.
Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and the vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now after he had seen this vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord has called us to preach the gospel to them.
Thank you. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia, you see the city Phrygia just under Asia and just above Antioch. They passed through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Look at that. Galatia, it is written just northeast of Antioch, right above Iconium. You see, it is written Galatia. Actually, Galatia is a big region. It started, it begins in Sinope and it ends in Cnidos or Miletus, Ephesus. All this entire area was called Galatia. And the letter of Paul, the first letter of Paul, was written to the Galatians. So the churches in Galatia, all churches in Galatia were addressed there. And he was passing through Galatia actually in this entire journey, and then he was about to get into Asia. And the word Asia means the western part of Galatia. That is another, so to say, a small kingdom little kingdom, Asia, and actually it's not a kingdom, a province. Galatia was a province, Asia was a province, all were under the Roman Empire, and that is where Paul is getting into. And they went through Mysia. You see Mysia just left of Asia, just above Mytilene, Sardis, Mytilene, in Mysia. You see Mysia there, and they went through Mysia. And they tried to go into Bithynia. Bithynia is also above Asia, right north of Asia, west of Ankara. You see Ankara, that is the capital of Turkey today. This entire area is Turkey, eastern Turkey and western Turkey. The city Byzantium, that is Istanbul today. And they were trying to get through these areas. And they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. The Holy Spirit did not permit them to go to Bithynia. The reason why they were not allowed to go to Bithynia was Bithynia was considered as a very cultured city. A very cultured city, very much a Roman Greek city, it was Bithynia. So the Spirit of God said that it is better for you to go and preach the gospel not in Bithynia, instead you go somewhere else. So passing through Mysia, they came down to Troas. I hope you see Troas. Just left of Mysia, north and west of Mysia, you see Troas and Assos. These two were also very famous Greek cities. And they came to Troas. And Troas was also a city, a port city of Greek, Greek population. They came there in Troas. And there a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Look at that. Macedonia is, if you see, Macedonia is, They go through the Aegean Sea and Macedonia. You see, that is Greece. You see Greece there, going through the island of Lesbos and through the Aegean Sea, getting into Greece. That's where Macedonia is. they ask them to go to Macedonia. And they get from Turkey, they go to Greece. And there is a very important thing that we need to notice here. And in Troas, another man joined the three, namely Paul, Silas, and Timothy, namely Luke. Why do I say Luke? Because the author of the book of the practices of the apostles, namely Acts of the Apostles, his name is Luke, the doctor, who also eventually wrote the book, the Gospel according to St. Luke. He was a doctor. And how do we know that he was a doctor? If we look the letter to Colossians, chapter 4, verse 4, it is written that Luke, the doctor. And why did a doctor join Paul there? The reason why a doctor joined Paul was that he was really sick all through his time of his missionary journey. We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7. Paul is saying that God has allowed the devil to poke him, to pierce him through a lance. And what is that? A lance to pierce him through his flesh. That is showing that Paul was sick. And Luke, the doctor, is getting along with him. And therefore, if we look at the 10th verse, now after he had seen the vision, immediately the next word, the subject of that sentence is we. Namely, who are these we? That includes the author of the book of Acts of the Apostles, namely Luke, Timothy, Paul, and Silas. They all went to Macedonia. They crossed over to Greece, and the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Where? In Macedonia. Now please go through from 11 to let's say 15.
Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and where we were staying in the city of for some days. And on Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside where the prayers was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the woman whom we met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us, and she was the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened the heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us.
Thank you. Sailing from Troas, they went into, they sailed through the Aegean Sea and got into Apollonia and got into Macedonia. Or it might have been also Neapolis. That's also possible. I would prefer Neapolis there. And they went to a city called Philippi. And Philippi was the foremost city of Macedonia. Foremost city, the main important city of Macedonia. Maybe, so to say, the capital of the region of or the province of Macedonia. And they wanted to stay there for a couple of days. And there, Paul and his people, they were exploring where do the Jews come together. And they understood that the Jews come together and pray on the riverside. Usually when 10 male members are there, they can start a synagogue. That's how the Jewish custom still is. If there are 10 men, they can start a synagogue. And unfortunately, there was not too many synagogues there. And therefore, they found a place near the riverside, and mostly the women and maybe some men they would come together to this riverside. And there was a certain woman named Lydia, and she was also a Jewish woman. She heard Paul and Silas preach. They came and they were part of that praying community, which is otherwise called Ecclesia, which is translated as the church. The word church, you know, how do we define church? The church is a community that prays together. Otherwise, it is not a church. It's a club. If you do not come and pray together, you are not a church. So, this community, that was the praying community, and Lydia was part of that. And her profession was, she is a trader, a merchant of the purple. What does it mean, purple? Purple means a very expensive cloth. The purple is a royal colored cloth. And there was this great technique of coloring cloth purple with jade. And that was a very lucrative business. And she was very rich. And she her home city was Thyatira, which is very often mentioned in the Book of Revelation, right to the angel of Thyatira. It is being said to John, the apostle who wrote the Revelations, and they were and Lydia was from that city. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and then she and her entire household were baptized. Look at that. That doesn't mean that she alone got baptized. Her entire household got baptized, namely, including children. This is one of the most important passages that we, our church site, quote, to propagate and to advocate for infant baptism. Namely, everybody got baptized. And therefore, she says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded, again, look at that, us. She begged us. In the name, Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. I think I'm making sense. So, let's go to verse 16.
Now it happened, as he went to the prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling.
Thank you. It happened, as we went to prayer, there is a certain girl, a slave girl. Look at that. She was a slave girl. And what it is, like, she was possessed, it was said, it was propagated. She was possessed by a god, a Greek god of one of those cities. And that is how she was being portrayed. She was a slave girl. That means she had a group of masters. And she used to tell fortune of people. And that is a big business. That was a big business. Even today, fortune telling is a big business. We all know, right? That's why people, I mean, every newspaper has a fortune column. Everybody, not everybody, many people, when you get the calendar, many people check, like, what is your fortune this year. It was a big business then too. Even news channels and, I mean, television channels have a fortune fortune segment. It was a big business. So these guys, they were having this lady, this woman, a slave girl. She was a slave. And she made a lot of money for them. And she didn't get much, but they made a lot of money. So please go. In the verse 17 through 19. Hello, Robbie, please read 17 through 19.
19. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High, who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she said, and this she did for many days. But Paul gently, annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out of, that very hour. But when her master saw that the hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities.
Thank you. This girl followed Paul and us. Again, look at that word, us. And cried out saying, these men are servants of Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now look at that. She understood that these men are proclaiming way of salvation. Look at that. The way. The way means that was the most ancient name for Christianity. The way. And the way of salvation. Actually, the full name of Christianity, the most ancient name, was the way of salvation. And she did it for many days. So Paul must have been seeing it, Silas must have been seeing it, and they ignored her. They didn't pay too much of attention. But when, after many days, Paul got annoyed because she was not leaving them. So then Paul is telling not to her, but to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. So the command is not to this girl, instead to that spirit. And he came out that very hour. Namely, the spirit came out of her at that very hour. But when her masters saw that her hope, their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Look at that. Let me make a little sidetrack here. If whenever we have a meeting, whenever we have a discussion, whenever we and our interests are at stake, we often try to change the topic. We often try to protect our interests ahead of the common good. This is a common thing among human beings. These men, they brought Paul and Silas, they dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Why? They understood that their profit is gone. And therefore, you will see it more when you see this, the next verses. Robbie, please read through 24, 20 through 24.
And they brought them to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they have laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prisons, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks.
Thank you. Look at that. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews, we need to underline the word Jews, being Jews, exceedingly troubled our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, who to receive or observe. Look at that. The main reason for them to tie Paul and Silas and bring them to the magistrates was not that they were Jews, not that they were violating the customs of the Roman religion or Roman systems. Instead, they lost their money. That was the main reason. And here, they twist it in terms of religion. And when the word religion comes up, even today, when religion comes up, the spirit of people go up. The spirits of people go up. That exactly has happened. Now, it teaches us a big lesson too. When we attend a meeting or when we attend a high-stakes conference or a committee, we have to discern between our interests, our personal interests, and the common good. Here, exactly, these men are doing that very wrong thing of which we are not even immune. We are not immune even today. They did it. And then, look at that verse 22. The multitude rose up together against them, against Paul and Silas, And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. They usually, when they beat them with rods, they are being made mostly barely wearing any dresses, mostly naked, and then they had laid many stripes on them, threw them into the prison. Now, who all went into prison? Paul and Silas were brought into prison. It's very important. Why they too? Why not Timothy and Luke? Luke was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. And Paul and Silas, they were treated as Jews. Silas came from Jerusalem. Paul came from Jerusalem. So they were treated as Jews. And Timothy, his father was Greek. So they left Timothy and Luke and taken Paul and Silas and put them into prison. Again, the charge against Paul and Silas was religious, was turned to religion, and they were put into the inner prison. And the jailer was commanded to keep them secure. And thus, they were put into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks, big chains around their feet. Now, see what has happened. Verses 25 through 28. Please, Robbie.
But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chain were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from the sleep, seeing the prison's door open, supposing the prisoner had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here."
Thank you. Look at that. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Again, that "we" passage is missing here, because Luke and Timothy were not in prison. And Paul and Silas, they were praying at midnight and singing hymns to God. What is that actually? That is called worship. Worship in the midnight. They used to sing hymns to God and they were praying. And while they were praying, all the prisoners were listening to them. Namely, that is the act of Paul and Silas. This is what we call the acts of the holy apostles, or the practices of the holy apostles. And thus, this is the timely prayer. A Jew is supposed to pray seven times, and Paul and Silas, they were praying at midnight, and suddenly it was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Earthquake lose all the same. Look at that. A similar thing happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's body was kept in a big secure place. He resurrected and earthquakes happened. Many a number of people who were dead, they resurrected and were visible to many. We read that in the Gospels. And similar thing happened there. That is something we call a resurrection experience, a Kemsa experience, and that really was instrumental, again, the spread of the gospel. Sunday is seen as the Kemto, namely the day of resurrection, the day of the Lord, and something similar happens here too. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors were open, he tried to flee. He thought that the prisoners were trying to flee. He took his sword and was trying to kill himself. Why? Because if the chief of the prison, if he was found, like the prisoners escaped, he was either going to be killed or he was going to be big time punished. He didn't want that. In order to keep his honor, he wanted to kill himself. But then Paul says to him, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Look at that. at the tomb of Jesus Christ, something similar happened. There were prison keepers, the guards. They were told to lie, and they were told they have received a bribe. Here, Paul is telling them, do no harm, because you are being preached the gospel, the way of salvation. Do yourself no harm. And what happens next is so enlightening. Let's go to verse 29 and 30.
Then he called for the light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Thank you. What must I do to be saved? Look at that. You know, this prison, chief of this prison, he had already received the gospel. What must I do to be saved? The way of salvation. And he asking with trembling, because he couldn't believe his own eyes. Why did an earthquake happen here? And why did the shackles were loosened? And why have these two prisoners being, along with other prisoners, being saved? Look at that. All the prisoners were listening to the preaching, the singing, the praying, singing of hymns and praying of Paul and Silas. They are all being preached the gospel. And what must I do to be saved? Let's go to verses 31 through 34, please.
So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into the house, he stood before them and rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household.
Thank you. So they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is again the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way of salvation. You will be saved. And next word is very important. You and your household. And when that happened, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, because Paul and Silas were taken into the household of the chief of the prison. And the first thing that the chief of the prison did was washing their stripes. I think you remember we said that they were beaten badly, being taken off their clothes, and their stripes were bad. So he has washed their stripes in the night, and immediately he and his family were baptized in water, and they brought food. Look at that again. They brought food. This is called the oblation. And I would probably say that Paul and Silas, they have celebrated the Holy Qurbana. And that is what they blessed the bread and they gave, they took, they blessed, they broke, and they gave. This is the formula of Holy Qurbana. And Paul must have celebrated the Holy Qurbana there. And receiving the Holy Qurbana is the salvation. Not just this man, this chief of the prison, but his entire household, including the children. And one more thing to be noted here, entire household means not just his wife and children, but the slaves and the servants and everyone together. So their children were also there. In other words, it was a big festival of baptism and a festival of Holy Qurbana there. And when all these things happen, we have to also look back to the conversion of Lydia. Lydia was the first ever a person to be converted in Europe, because Philippi is in Greece, namely Europe. Lydia was the first person to be converted in Europe. And this city, Philippi means city of Philip. And who is this Philip? Philip was the father of Alexander the Great. So Alexander the Great, when he established the Roman Empire, he has named a city in honor of his father, which was a very important city in Greece. And in that city, Lydia got baptized, and that baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm coming back to the verse 15. That baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a little difference here with the baptism that we conduct. We conduct the baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, where this baptism was in the name of Jesus Christ. So many people say and also pray in the name of Jesus Christ. How far can we accept it? The reason why we cannot accept it is because the concept and the teaching of Trinity, when that was clearly revealed, we understand that when there is Jesus Christ, the second person of Trinity, there is Father and the Holy Spirit. So without Jesus, without the Holy Father and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ alone does not stay anywhere, or the second person of Trinity does not does not exist. Therefore, honoring that big revelation of the Holy Trinity, we say all our prayers in the name of the Holy Trinity. There is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, this expression in the name of Jesus Christ is not to be confused with what many of the Reformed people are preaching or doing. Please do not do that. That is not correct. It is less advanced, more advanced conclusion of prayers or the prayer beginning of the prayer is in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So. That is how we have to understand that. Now let's go to verses 35 through 40. Yes, ma'am.
And when it was day, the magistrates and the officers saying, "Let those men go." So the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans, and have thrown us into the prison. Now do they have to put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out." And the officer told these words to the magistrate, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pled with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed.
Thank you. And when it was day, look, the entire thing, the singing of hymns, praying, all those things happened at midnight, and this man, the prison keeper, he brought Paul and Silas to his home, he washed their wounds, and he got baptized, they celebrated the Holy Qurbana, all these things happened, and it was daybreak. When the day broke, the officers, the magistrates, they understood the things that have happened over the night, and they were scared. And they said, "Let those men go so that we be out of trouble." And that was reported by the prison chief to Paul. "The magistrates have sent you to let you go. Now, therefore, depart, go in peace, you're free." At that time, Paul is taking the trump card out of his pocket, namely asking them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans." Paul and Silas were taken because they were understood as Jewish men. Now, Paul is saying, "We are uncondemned Romans." The Romans were not allowed to be beaten. Roman citizens had higher privileges. Now, why did you beat us? Come here by yourself and say, talk to us that we are not under any confinement. They were pushed by Paul to come out. No, no indeed, not to be put us in secret. Let them come themselves and get us out. Look at that. Why did Paul take the trump card now? The reason is that Paul is using that also an opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the magistrates can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So every opportunity is being converted, not for his own merit or his own ego or the satisfaction of his ego, rather for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. That was used by Paul as an opportunity to preach the gospel. And thus they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia again, and they had seen the brethren. They encouraged them and departed. So this is the gist of this chapter. Now, I think, Rupa, I asked you to remind me something, did I?
Yeah, you asked to remind about verse 5. It says, yeah, the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily, as you said. You will be explaining it in the coming verses.
Correct. Thank you. Look at that. The churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. Do you see that being meaningfully fulfilled in those verses coming beneath those next 35 verses? Every day, the church was getting more and more members. Now, dearly beloved sisters and any brothers who are listening to me, look at that. Why did the church get increase in numbers? There are a couple of reasons. First of all, it is not because of the eloquence of Paul and Silas and Timothy the number of people were increasing, but because of their lives, because of their actions, because of their practices. People saw Paul and Timothy and Silas and Luke. They preach what they do. So their words were being more eloquent. Sorry, their acts were more eloquent than their words. And that is how people found authenticity and genuinity in their actions, in their words. Today, we lament a lot that our church is not increasing in numbers. With a lot of sadness, I'm saying this. In fact, the greatest enemies of our own church are we ourselves. Because we are not sometimes convinced of our own faith, our own people, and our own actions. I'm taking this opportunity to bring this also into our conscience. What we talk in private, what we talk in our own household, that is what our children see. If our children need to really respect our church, our faith, and have a future here, we have to be really respectful of our faith, our church, and our brethren. I'm using the word brethren. This is where our witness, the word witness, sachyam, has to be increasing. So it needs to be increasing. The original ancient baby church had that. That is why Christianity became the largest religion of the world. I don't want to call it Christianity, the way of salvation. Christianity was a name later attributed, the way of salvation. Because the way of salvation is a way of action, the way of practice. let me stop this chapter here. If you have any questions, you may ask.
Thank you, Acha. It was a very detailed class about Paul's journey, missionary journey. The map Acha shared just before the class also helped us to understand his journey better. The most important thing Acha reminded through this chapter, I believe all of you must have noted it, just like Paul and his companions, Luke, Timothy and Silas, we should also practice what we preach. Our actions should speak louder than our words. That was the takeaway. And also, along with that, Achin pointed out the analogy of the happenings in the prison to the resurrection of Jesus. And many informative tidbits about Timothy and about the countries, Asia, Philippi and all. I believe that all of you must have definitely found it very helpful and useful information. It was a blessing, Acha. It was a nice class. It was a blessing to all those who attended the class. Thank you, Acha, and appreciate your time and patience. Today, Sam's 16th chapter was read by Robbie Matthew. Robbie is from St. Stephen's Church, Houston. And she is currently the MMUS Regional Secretary for our Houston region. Thank you, Robbie. Appreciate your help. We have Liz Phillips, our Diocesan Treasurer, with us today. Liz Andy, do you want to add it? Do you have anything to add on?
It's a very nice class, Acha. There's a different way to hear that after we hear the Malayalam. So it's very, very nice, very elaborate, and it sounds like you took a lot of time to research it too, so we really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. You read it very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Acha.
Thank you, Acha. Thank you, Andy. Announcement. We have only one announcement. Tomorrow we will have our usual faith study class at 8 p.m. Central Time. Please pray and plan to attend it. That's it from my side. Nothing else. Acha, do you have anything to add on? Otherwise, we'll wind up with prayer.
I do not have anything more to add. See you all. I'm not seeing anybody though. But let's see each other in spirit next week.
Yeah.
God willing. Shall we conclude with a small prayer?
Yes, Acha.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God forever and ever. Amen. Holy God, we come together and we try to learn the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Holy Apostles, where St. Luke is joining Paul and Silas and Timothy in their journey from the eastern Turkey through to Asia, through to Greece, the Europe. Heavenly Father, the way they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the way they lived the gospel of Jesus Christ, encourage us and give us the courage to say and speak and do and act exactly what you have inspired your servants, Paul, Silas, Timothy and Luke, to live out your gospel. Similarly, Lydia and her household did. Similarly, the prison chief and his household did. And all those churches were getting the number of faithful increased. Give us that big, big blessing, Holy God. Help us to be the keepers of our own word. Help us to respect each other. Help us to honor each other. Help us to honor your word. When every one of us honor your word and honor and respect your children, we all grow in respect. That is how the world is going to respect us. Give us that new spirit, Holy God. You baptize, and that spirit of baptism is what we ask you to renew in us. We want to pray at this time for joy, Paimoli Lachan. you strengthen your beloved son and our father Joyashri. We ask you, God, to strengthen our respected Daniel Georgeson. Bless him. Give him the big enlightening spirit of joy and happiness in his heart when he is fighting this illness. We ask you for all our members of this diocese and those and Orthodox Christians and non-Orthodox Christians and other people belonging to other religions and those who do not have any religious affiliation who are suffering under COVID in the United States. We pray for all those people, all our sisters and brethren, those who work in healthcare, especially today and this week being the Nurses Week. We bless every nurses among our community. You give them the spirit of happiness and joy to serve you by serving the patients, especially those nurses who take care of the COVID patients. You keep them safe and their families. Holy God, you bless every one of them. As we come closer to the Mother's Day, you bless every mother. Motherhood is a big revelation that comes into the heart of women. You make each one of us, each one of our members, the mothers, a big blessing. And strengthen everyone to see and honor their mothers. You encourage everybody to respect these mothers like Lydia got the respect from everyone. We pray for those who are departed. Holy God, you bring them all together to your right hand side when you come anew to live, to judge the living and the departed. Through the intercession of Saint Mary, the Mother of God, Saint Peter and Saint Paul the Apostles, we pray together from now on forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
May the love of God, the Father, grace, the only begotten Son, communion, dwelling in the Holy Spirit be upon us all from now on forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rupa. It is 10 o'clock here on the dot. Thank you.
Yeah. Good night. Thank you, Acha. Thank you, everyone. Bye. Good night.
Good night.